Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Governor Patterson is running up the stairs in his office, we are told, to his good quality telephone, where he's going to pick it up any second now, and we're going to talk to the governor. If you didn't hear, governor is dealing with the reality that the new good times on Wall Street apparently are not trickling down to public services, because even as big bank bonuses return to 2007's record levels, the governor announced last week that the state is falling into a $3 billion deficit right in the middle of the fiscal year. That could mean some rare and painful mid-year budget cuts. That could mean, for example, that school principals will have to cut programs that they budgeted for right in the middle of the school year. The legislature is resistant so far, at least the state Senate is, to making cuts mid-year. But the only alternative, said the governor, is more borrowing, which would make the deficit that much bigger next year. So on that cheery note, we're going to start our conversation with Governor Patterson as soon as he gets to his phone. And then right after that, we will finish up the program today with our daily look this week at words in the news. And with all that's going on with the Yankees in the playoffs, it's going to be baseball terms with our word geek, Aaron McKean, coming up in just a few minutes. But I think we have Governor Patterson now. Governor, thanks a lot for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm okay.
I just ran from an interview with Business Tonight, so I'm out of breath.
And we hear it, and we were told, and I actually did tell the listeners that you were running up the phone, running up the steps to your good quality phone, and we hear the out of breath, and we appreciate the effort. You have to go to the gym more often, Governor.
I don't have time. We have a severe deficit in New York State. As soon as I get that cleared up, I'll return to the gym.
Why does the state have a mid-year deficit? You couldn't see the real finances when the current fiscal year budget was passed originally in April?
Oh, Brian, we saw the real finances. But between July of 2008, when the projected 2009-2010 budget deficit was $5 billion, and April of 2009, we wound up cutting $21 billion. It was quadrupled. That is the highest rise in a budget deficit in a state in the history of the United States, right here in New York, just in the past year.
What about the new profits that Wall Street banks are seeing this year? Why isn't that resulting in more revenue than you anticipated in April rather than less?
Because the personal income taxes that we implemented and assessed at $4 billion a year are coming in much less because the number of the people who were among the wealthiest New Yorkers are not working, and a number of them have switched their residence to other states because of the high taxes in New York. And New York's unemployment rate itself, just like other states, is high. So states now, on average, have revenues down for the last two quarters 16%. New York's revenues are down 36%. So that opened up a $3 billion deficit in this year, and I have a $5 billion two-year program that's designed to alleviate it and reduce next year's budget deficit to $3 billion, which would be manageable if the revenues start to come back from Wall Street. But we can't keep gambling, feeling that that Wall Street is going to bail New York out all the time. Because remember, when Wall Street was producing in the 90s at almost logarithmic rates, we had deficits we had deficits in five of those 8 years. So the real problem is our spending and our inability to resist spending money that we don't have.
So was the budget that the legislature passed in April and that you signed irresponsible because it spent $9 billion more than the state spent in the last fiscal year, despite the economic crisis?
Brian, it did not. And I've been saying that since April. And all of 49 of the 50 states that accepted stimulus money reflect that same apparent increase in spending. There is no increase in spending. The federal money, which usually comes direct to localities, in the stimulus package was transformed and was driven through the states as an appropriation. So it was listed as spending, but it really wasn't. It all went to deficit reduction, and the remainder went to job creation. So there was no increase in spending. The actual increase in spending was 0.7%. It would have been minus 1%, but the unemployment insurance, the greater demand for food stamps and the greater demand for Medicaid pushed it back over zero. So there was flat spending in this budget earlier this year.
The total top line, and I forget the exact number, it was 100-something billion for the year. Wasn't 9% above the total top or bottom line number from the previous year?
Yes, Brian, but that's because this year we got stimulus money that did not have to be listed that way, but the federal government wanted it listed that way so that the federal legislators would not be able to choose what happened with the money. They thought that those resources might become discretionary, and they felt that the governors, whose role it was to balance the budget, would be the ones who would make the more responsible decisions. And that's why the National Governors Association is who the president met with first when he began the whole stimulus effort when he was before he was inaugurated back in December last year. So I would really appreciate it if people who understand economies would inform those in the media that there was no increase in spending this year, because it causes me to look as if I'm not managing responsibly when I actually was.
So with the new budget deficit and the $3 billion hole that you're trying to close, you've got more than $400 million in health care cuts, more than $400 million in education cuts, plus big cuts to aides in localities, and an anti-global warming fund, and the MTA, and of course all the constituency groups are saying, don't cut mine, don't cut mine, don't cut mine. Let me take one. Will the education cuts mean that principals would have to make cuts to programs right in the middle of the school year?
No. To be honest, Brian, it's not $400 million for education. It's $686 million for the whole school year. That's a 3% cut in the middle of the year, which we never want to do. However, 95% of these school districts have reserve funds that can cover these costs. Those reserve funds are not being monitored by the rating agencies, the bondholders, who determine whether or not the state can borrow money. They have those resources. We implemented the cuts on a wealth-based system, so the 5% of school districts that really can't afford the cuts at all won't have to pay them. No teacher should be laid off. No child should get lesser services. But it does tighten up severely the budgets of those education dollars.
You've called a special session of the legislature to deal with the budget for next Tuesday. But apparently the state Senate won't even show up. Do you have any message this morning for your esteemed former colleagues in the Senate?
The state Senate had better show up to the special session. And I haven't any indication that they said they're not coming. I have not received that indication. Let me just point something else out, Brian. All the constituency groups are listing the value of the cuts. I would like for you and the WNYC listeners to list the value of the debts, something we never talk about.
Go ahead.
In the middle of December, we have to make a $2.5 billion payment for our STAR program, that's property tax relief, $1.6 billion for schools, $800 million for MTA and transit, $500 million for local governments. We call that aid to municipalities, AIM funding, and $500 million among other costs to service providers, not-for-profits, to do business for the state. We are currently $2 billion behind on those payments. By December, we will be $3 billion behind. The controller, Tom DiNapoli, estimates that we could wind up as far as $4 billion behind. If we don't make those payments, or we shift money around or go into special pools or gimmicks, the rating agencies will downgrade us. This has happened to 20 other states. The state of Pennsylvania is delaying payments. Now, you want to talk about cuts to school? They are delaying payments to their school systems, also their not-for-profits, also their workforce, and also their local governments. Does New York want to wind up where California is, with a credit rating downgraded to triple B, which is one level above junk status because, in spite of the efforts of the governor, the legislature didn't act? There are real ramifications. Last year, I called the legislature back to reduce the out-year budget deficit, and then they didn't respond. But last year, we had $7.6 billion in funds to pay our bills. This year, we have $3.5 billion. It will shrink to $2 billion by December. So this is a very serious situation that people aren't understanding.
Are cuts the only way to manage the deficit and close those gaps? Here is Brooklyn Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries on this program last week, just after your proposal was announced.
I'm not convinced that everything that he's put into the budget is necessary for us to do, and that we should not simply cut things, but we also have to look at some form of revenue enhancement, whether that's considering the possibility of a soda tax, which has health benefits, whether that's considering the possibility of increasing out-of-state tuition for SUNY students so that it's consistent with what out-of-state students pay in California or Michigan or Virginia. I think there's a mix of things that we can do so as to minimize the cuts to education and health care.
So, Governor, are either of those proposals possible?
Know, this, in your... is an example of how much we need to educate the public and also its representatives on the problems that we have. Now, I tried to impose a soda tax in this year's budget, and it was roundly rejected by the legislature. But that soda tax would have been $250 million a year. I'm talking about coming up with revenues by December 15th, Assemblyman. You see, what I'm saying is he's right about different ways we could enhance revenues if the legislature would agree to it. But he's totally wrong because I'm talking about payments that must be met by December 15th. And I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say it before people understand and are persuaded that we have to act now in terms of out-year tuition. The problem is that it is the legislature that will have to vote for these revenue enhancements. This is why we tried to put the soda tax in. Fine, I promise I'll put it back in my state of the, in my budget address and give the legislature another chance to do it. But you can't keep voting down the ways to create revenues and then saying that you don't want to make cuts.
We are out of time. Sounding the alarm bells, Governor David Patterson, in very clear terms. Thank you very much, Governor.
Well, thank you, Brian. And this is one game that can't go into extra innings for your next segment.
Oh, very attentive listener.
Thank you.
Governor, thanks a lot. And yes, our next segment is with our word geek, Aaron McKean, co-founder of WordNik.com, who's going to come on this very appropriate day and talk about baseball words in the news. Stay with us.